We're looking today again in Matthew chapter 12 as we continue our journey through the gospel written by a publican named Matthew, using for a title the words, some of the words found in verse 31 and verse 32. Let's read again Matthew 12, verse 31. You've got it there? Wherefore I say unto you, come from no higher source. He speaks with all authority. He speaks the absolute truth. It's impossible for God to lie. All manner of sin. All sorts of sin. And, he adds, evil speaking, blasphemy, shall be forgiven unto men. Well, I like that. Shall be forgiven. But, the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven unto men. That's evil speaking against the Holy God. Verse 32, and whatsoever or whosoever speaketh a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But whosoever speaketh against the Holy Ghost, and when we think of the Holy Ghost, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, one God, manifest in three distinct persons. So to speak against the Father is to speak against the Son. Speak against the Holy Spirit is against the Father and the Son. These are one. It shall not be forgiven him, neither in this world, nor in the world to come. So I'm taking the title from what is said there in verse 31 and verse 32. What is this unpardonable sin? Now, probably I've been asked this question, probably this question more than any other question. I've been in the ministry for more than 40 years, and I probably get this question more than any other question. Preacher, what is that unpardonable sin? What is that unpardonable sin? Well, I hope we can answer that question. I hope we can answer that question from the Word of God. What is a sin for which there is no forgiveness? What is that sin for which there is no pardon? No deliverance. No redemption. And as I said, I get this question more than any other question. What is that sin that I cannot be forgiven of? Many people are afraid that they've committed this terrible sin against God, for which they cannot be forgiven. I think many people are fearful that they have done this. Well, I can assure you this. If you have committed this horrible sin against God, you would not be here today. You would not be here this morning seeking to worship the Lord, seeking to hear a word from God Almighty through the mediator, the Lord Jesus Christ. Because your heart would be hardened. And your conscience would be seared. You would have no interest in seeking the truth or knowing God in truth. If you have committed such a horrible and evil sin as this, your conscience would not condemn you before the holy law of God, because your conscience would not accuse you of being guilty. You would be like the Pharisees who condemned the Lord Jesus Christ and accused him of being the prince of devils instead of the prince of life. Instead of the Prince of Peace, these Pharisees justified themselves and condemned the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember what they said here in verse 24? But when the Pharisees heard how this blind and dumb man who was demon-possessed was completely healed and set free, they said, "This is the work of the devil." They attributed the work of the Lord Jesus Christ to the devil. That is blasphemy against God. They justified themselves and condemned the Lord Jesus Christ. In essence, they were saying, this man, Jesus of Nazareth, he's in league with the devil. The truth of the matter was, they were in league with the devil. Because he said, you are of your father the devil. He calls them in verse 34, did you notice? O generation of vipers. Down in verse 39, he calls these same people an evil and adulterous generation. You see that in verse 39, Matthew 12? And then turn the page, the last part of verse 45, he said, even so it shall be so also unto this wicked generation. So, these Pharisees who thought themselves to be saints, they were far from saints. They were Satan's servants. Now, all manner of sin, all kinds of sin, small or great, secret or open. I've skipped a page. Back one page. I'll get to that statement in just a minute. Back to page 2. From our study here in Matthew 12, when the Lord Jesus Christ pronounced judgment on these Pharisees, it was because they vehemently denied Him that He was the Messiah, the Son of God, the Son of David. Remember, the people said, this is the Messiah. They were amazed. They said, uh-uh. He's a devil. He's a devil. The Lord pronounced judgment on these Pharisees because they vehemently denied that He was the promised Messiah, the Christ of God. They denied what God had done when He healed this possessed man. The Pharisees had committed this unpardonable sin because they attributed the mercy of God to the devil. Now, having said that, let's start with the good news first. You want to hear the good news before you hear the bad news? The wages of sin is death. That's the bad news. The good news is the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. But the Lord begins with the good news of the gospel, verse 31. Wherefore I say unto you. Now there was a multitude of sinners that were amazed. All manner of sin. All manner of sin. Now you just name it. Sin is a transgression of the law. Sin is a transgression of the law. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. But all manner of sin and even evil speaking shall be forgiven unto men. Well, that's good news, isn't it? Shall be forgiven unto men. All manner of sin. Now, here's the good news of the gospel. Here's a promise of the Lord to His children. With Him, He is the Savior of sinners. He came to save sinners from their sin. With Him, there is forgiveness. We study a psalm often and studied this recently, Psalm 130, where the question is asked, if Thou, Lord, shouldst mark iniquities, who shall stand? If the Lord marks my iniquities, I can't stand. But there is forgiveness with Thee that Thou mayest be worshipped. With the Lord, there is forgiveness. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ came to put away sin by the sacrifice of Himself. That's the only reason we have forgiveness of sin, because He paid our debt. That's what happened at Calvary. When He by Himself purged our sin, not with the blood of bulls and goats, but with His own blood, He entered into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us, and He ascended to glory, and He is seated in the heavenlies as our mediator, as our advocate, as our intercessor for us. That's the reason we have the forgiveness of sin. Believers enjoy right now. Believers enjoy the full pardon and complete deliverance from all our sin, because His blood cleanses us from all my sin. All my sin. You see, for the believer, he has no sin because he's in Christ. Christ put away his sin. We started our study in Matthew chapter 1. Remember the promise? The messenger that was dispatched from the throne of glory told Joseph and Mary that you should call his name Savior Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Did he do it? Absolutely he did. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all our sin. That's good news. That's good news. John puts it this way. If we say that we have no sin, singular, sin, if we say we have no sin nature, no guilt, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He's faithful and He's just to forgive our sin based upon the blood atonement of Jesus Christ, making full payment for our sin. The Apostle Paul, in his first sermon, on his first missionary journey, In the book of Acts, it's recorded, he said to these people, "Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man, the God-man mediator, through this man is preached to you the forgiveness of sin, and by him all that believe are justified from all things which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. By him all that believe are justified from all things which you could not. By the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified." That includes here all manner of sin. All manner of sin. All kinds of sin. Original sin in Adam old God. Actual sin. Actual sin. Sin that we've committed against God. All kinds of sin. Whether we say that they're small sin, there is no such thing as small sin. Some people categorize as such. Small sin or great sin. Secret sin or open sin. Past sin, present sin, future sins. What I am and what I've done. Sin of heart, lip, and life. All sin for the believer has been put away in the Lord Jesus Christ. Even evil words spoken against the Son of Man out of ignorance, as it says there in verse 32, "And whosoever speaketh a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him." Even evil words spoken against the Son of Man, the Lord Jesus Christ, out of ignorance, because they did not know that he was the promised Messiah. And I'll give you an example of that. The proud Pharisee turned to 1 Timothy. Can you find 1 Timothy chapter? Is it chapter 1? I believe it is chapter 1, 1 Timothy chapter 1. You remember that proud Pharisee named Saul of Tarsus? He was one of those Pharisees, and he spoke terrible words against the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of Man. But he was forgiven. And here's the reason why. He was one of God's chosen. 1 Timothy chapter 1. He said, verse 12, "I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer." Well, there's a blasphemer who found forgiveness. He was a persecutor. He was one who caused injury unto death. He had believers put to death. "But I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly. I did it in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying, and this is worthy of all acceptation. The Lord Jesus Christ came to save sinners." So there was an ignorant Pharisee who blasphemed the Lord Jesus Christ, and he was forgiven by the sovereign mercy and grace of God. All sin forgiven only through the Lord Jesus Christ, who paid our debt. He paid our debt in full with his own blood. I like this scripture in Ephesians chapter 1, where it says, "We are accepted in the Beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace." According to the riches of his grace, in whom we have right now the total forgiveness of all our sins as believers. Now, if you're not a believer, he that believeth on the Son hath life. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. We are redeemed with the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not with the blood of bulls and goats, but with the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are redeemed, not with corruptible things, silver and gold, vain tradition, but with the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. So, there's the good news. There is forgiveness of sin. There is pardon from all sin. Sinners are justified freely by his grace through the redeeming blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. But, verse 31, "this blasphemy against the holy God shall not be forgiven men." Verse 32, "You speak a word against the Son of Man, that will be forgiven. But whosoever speaks against the holy God, it shall not be forgiven him, neither in this world nor in the world to come." Now, so then, what is this horrible sin of blasphemy against the holy God, against the Holy Spirit, against the Holy Son, against the triune God, in which there is no pardon, no hope of salvation, no forgiveness, no deliverance from sin. Listen, it is to vehemently, consistently reject the only hope of salvation. If you reject the only hope of salvation, there is no other hope. That is the total and willful unbelief against the Holy Spirit concerning the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We read in John chapter 16, when the Holy Spirit has come, the Comforter has come, the Spirit of truth, our Lord said, He'll take the things of mine and show them unto you. Now, it is to vehemently, consistently reject the only hope of salvation found in Christ. It's to know that Jesus Christ is the Lord of salvation and yet willfully, openly, deliberately reject Him and refuse Him to bow to His Lordship. Remember what they said about the Lord Jesus Christ? Away with Him. Crucify Him. We have no king but Caesar. Boy, they just committed that unpardonable sin. There is no hope of salvation. To refuse to submit to the only righteousness revealed in the gospel and to go about to establish a righteousness of your own by your own deeds, you have committed that unpardonable sin. And if you die in your sin, the Lord said, you cannot come where I am. Those who refuse to submit to the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Remember what He said in verse 30, Matthew 12. He that's not with me is against me. He that gathereth not with me scatters abroad. There is no middle ground. You cannot straddle the fence here. You're either with the Lord Jesus Christ, you're either all in, or you're all out. You cannot have it both ways. Believers, look to Christ alone. There's no neutral ground. If there's only forgiveness of sin in Christ, then to cast that away leaves you with no hope of salvation but eternal death. Our Lord said this in John 8. The same people who said, who accused the Lord of this blasphemy, who accused the Lord of working the work of God in the name of the devil, our Lord said to them, you are from beneath, I am from above. You're of this world. I'm not of this world. I said therefore unto you that you shall die in your sins. For if you believe not that I am, you shall die in your sin. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. When the Holy Spirit comes in quickening, regenerating, revealing grace, He takes the things of Christ and convinces us totally that Christ is everything in salvation. That Christ is all and in all. Those who knowingly, willfully commit this awful sin against God are given over to a reprobate mind. Their heart has become so gospel hardened against God that it will never repent, it will never believe, and will never receive mercy. Gospel hardened. Their conscience seared with a hot iron. Now I can give you an example of that. Turn to the book of Jude. We'll look at two examples here. The book of Jude. That's right before the Revelation. The revelation of Jesus Christ. Jude, and there's just one chapter. So look at verse 1. Jude, verse 1. Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ, the brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father, preserved in Christ Jesus and called, mercy unto you and peace and love be multiplied. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and to exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith that was once delivered unto the saints. Now look verse 4 carefully. For there are certain men which crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men turning the grace of God into lasciviousness, denying the only Lord God, our Lord Jesus Christ. I will therefore put you in remembrance that though you once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward were destroyed, he destroyed them that believed not. So here's what these ungodly men did. They said that this salvation by the sovereign grace of God, salvation that's found only in the Lord Jesus Christ, they turned it on its head and said, it's an evil thing. That's blasphemy against God. And if you die in your sin, you cannot come where I am. Many people turn to another scripture here. You find 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Let me read this to you in 1 Timothy 4. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter time, some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits, doctrines of devil, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, here's what happened when God gives them up to a reprobate mind. Here's what happened in the description of those who speak evil against the gospel of God. 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 7. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. And then shall the wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders, with all deceivableness of unrighteousness, and them that perish because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. Read on. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusions that they should believe a lie that they all might be damned who believe not the truth but had pleasure in unrighteousness. One more verse. Two more verses. There's the bad news, but here again is the good news. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth, whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Those who receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved, God will send them strong delusions that they'll believe Satan's lie, that salvation depends upon you rather than Christ alone. Now, here's the last thing I want us to look at here, and I've got a few minutes left. In verse 33 down through verse 37, let's read this in Matthew chapter 12, verse 33. Either make the tree good or his fruit good. The tree, good. The fruit is good. Or else make the tree corrupt and his fruit corrupt. The tree is known by the fruit. We know it's an apple tree because in the springtime we have blooms, and in the fall, Lord willing, we have an apple. Oh, verse 34, you generation of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. A good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things. An evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account unto God in the day of judgment, for the judgment seat of Christ. For by your words you'll be justified, and by your words you'll be condemned. Be careful what you say. What are they, when they read your Miranda rights, you remember what they say? Be careful what you say, it may be used in a court of law against you. So be careful what you say. Be careful what you do. Spoken words are the revealer of the heart. For out of the heart we demonstrate and exhibit the thoughts of our mind, don't we? Someone said, I'm going to speak my mind. Boy, watch out. You may be in trouble. You may want to take out your hearing aids. A good, healthy tree brings forth right fruit, good fruit. Souls renewed and regenerated by the Spirit of God, those saved by the grace of God, give all the glory to God for salvation that's of the Lord, don't they? God forbid I should glory saved in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. The corrupt tree, those who are still in the bondage of corruption, the bondage of their sinful nature, who are going about to establish their righteousness by their own doing, their own morality, and have not owned and submitted to the Lord Jesus Christ as all of their salvation, all they bring forth is evil fruit. Because the heart is desperately wicked. Who can know it? The tree, he says there, is known by its fruit. The person reveals the state of his own heart by the words he speaks. Evil words are products of an evil heart. Now turn a couple pages to Matthew 15. We're going to see this when we get over here to Matthew 15. In Matthew chapter 15, these Pharisees were all upset because the disciples didn't wash their hands when they ate. And the Lord says to them, and he says to Peter and the disciples, he said to them, leave them alone. They be blind, leaders of the blind. Verse 14. And to blind lead the blind, to all fall into the ditch. Matthew 15:14. Then answered Peter and said unto him, declare unto us this parable. And he said, are you also without understanding? Do you not understand that whatsoever enter into the mouth goes into the belly and is cast out into the drought, into the sewer? But those things which proceed out of the mouth, they come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. For out of the heart proceeds evil thoughts, murders, adultery, fornication, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile the man. But to eat with unwashing hands, that's not going to defile your soul. Now, it's a good thing before you eat to wash your hands, right? But it's not what you put in your mouth that defiles you. It's what comes out of the well of the heart. Out of the well of the heart. Now, verse 34, he says, Matthew 12:34, O generation of vipers, how can you, being evil, having an evil heart, speak anything that's good? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. The people thought these scribes and Pharisees were a generation of saints. Our Lord Jesus Christ called them a generation of snakes. Evil men in league with the devil. You remember the apostle writes about that in 2 Corinthians 11. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it's no great thing if his ministers be transformed as ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their deeds, whose end shall be according to their works. These who are ministers of righteousness, they preach salvation by your morality or by your church doing, your church giving, your church works, or different things. Our Lord plainly says to these people, you are of your father, the devil. The lust of your father will you do. He was a murderer from the beginning. He abode not in the truth because there's no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he's a liar and the father of it. Verse 35 in our text, Matthew 12. A good man, out of the good treasure of the heart, bringeth forth good things. Now, remember that scripture where it says there's none righteous, no, not one. There is none good, no, not one. So how can a, by nature, we have no goodness. The only way that he can call us good as we are one with Christ. Our Lord said, I'm well pleased with my Father. Or my Father is well pleased with me. This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. A good man out of a good treasure of the heart, he gives us a new heart in regenerating grace, brings forth good things. We'll give him all the honor and glory for the salvation of our soul, don't we? But an evil man, out of an evil treasure, he brings evil things. He says that my salvation is based upon my performance, on my works, my doing, my duties, my giving, my church going, my baptism, or whatever it may be, rather than saying Christ alone. Christ is all. We're complete in Christ. those who speak of the great things they have done. Verse 36 and verse 37, but I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment. For by your words you'll be justified, or by your words you'll be condemned. What you speak before God. Those who speak of great things they have done to earn their salvation or to justify themselves before Christ shall hear him say, depart from me, I never knew you. You remember, turn back to Matthew 7. Remember those Pharisees, what they said? Matthew 7, verse 21. Many will say to me, verse 22, saying to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? And have we not cast out devils? And in thy name done many wonderful works? What? Sounds good, doesn't it? By your words, you'll be condemned or justified. The words they spoke, he said, then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you that just work iniquity. Their words they spoke condemned them, didn't they? They were trusting what they had done rather than Christ alone. Those sinners saved by the grace of God speak about the great things Christ had done for us. They demonstrate they have been justified by the grace of God because they say that salvation is of the Lord and that God saved me by His grace. They don't say things like, well, you know, I made my decision. Salvation, a decision is not salvation. We are accepted in the Beloved. We're justified freely by His grace. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in the Lord Jesus Christ. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God. And here's what believers say. It's recorded in the Revelation chapter 1. Unto him that loved us and washed us from our sin in his own blood, to him be all the honor and glory both now and forever. Isn't that our testimony? It's unto him who loved us. It's unto him who washed us. It's unto him who chose us. It's not, you know, I've been a good boy. I paid my tithes. I paid my taxes. I've been a good citizen. I joined the church. I've done all these things. Rather than saying unto him who loved us, unto him, he loved us with an everlasting love. Unto him who washed us, he washed us in his blood. To him be all the honor and glory, both now and forever and ever. It is written in Isaiah 45, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then, writing in Romans chapter 14, so then every one of us shall give an account of himself unto God. What's the believer's count? What's our account? Paid in full. Accepted in the Beloved. To stand on any other ground is what? Sinking sand. Sinking sand. We stand, as believers, we stand on burnt ground. Burnt ground. Did I ever tell you that story about the burnt ground? Braxton will enjoy this story. Back years ago, when they had the Great Migration on the Oregon Trail, remember? 1840-something to when they had the railroad, 1869. Thousands and thousands of people started there and crossed the Missouri River in St. Joe, Missouri, and they went across the Great Plains. And oftentimes they would send out an outrider for a wagon train so they could travel safely. And oftentimes that outrider would come back and said, there's fire ahead. There's a great prairie fire raging. And they could see the smoke and they started to smell the smoke. You know what they'd do? This is a true story. Here's what they'd do. The wagon master would go out ahead and they'd take fire and they'd burn out a big, big, big spot. They'd put fire and the fire would spread and spread and spread. And then they would take all the wagons and put them on burnt ground. And then when that raging fire started coming their way, and that little boy about Braxton age, about your age, he would say to his daddy, "Daddy, the fire's coming, the fire's coming. Well, what are we going to do?" And the dad said, "It's all right, son. We're on burnt ground. The fire can't reach us. We're on burnt ground." That's Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ took all our sin in His own body. He bare the wrath of God for us. That's why we can say as believers, there is therefore now no judgment to those who are in the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay.